father's civil fraud trial that she was generally familiar with his accounting practices, but she says she wasn't a specialist. State Attorney General Letitia James.
We uncovered this scheme, and she benefited from it personally.
CBS's Graham Cates.
Not been combative with the lawyer questioning her the way Donald Trump was, the way Eric Trump was. She's been answering the questions, although saying she doesn't recall a lot of information, saying information she does recall is only because she had heard it during a deposition previously, not because she specifically was part of it.
Don Jr. blamed accountants. Trump is said to miss tonight's GOP debate in Miami. CBS's Finn Gomez is there with a preview.
He will not be there, but he will clearly be the elephant in the room because the other five will be vying for that second place. They'll be vying for that electorate, speaking to them about being the alternative to Donald Trump.
A Palestinian exodus is happening now in northern Gaza, where Israel claims people are leaving because Hamas has lost control. Israel's prime minister rejected more calls for a ceasefire again today as it steps up attacks on those terror targets. This also comes as more colleges see a rise in anti-Semitism.
That's one of several protests that broke out at the House Judiciary Committee hearing, where witnesses included conservative and Jewish students and organizations. Cornell University student Amanda Silberstein discussed being on a campus where a fellow student has been arrested for threatening Jewish students and calling for their murders.
This was not just hate speech. It was a call to action and an immediate threat.
Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
In Shepherd, Texas, residents are still under a shelter-in-place order following a chemical plant explosion. Jeff Harfield runs the place.
I'm not worried about the business. All my people went home, and that's all I care about.
He says one worker suffered minor injuries. The CDC wants families to be ready for Thanksgiving.
I am the parent of a toddler, so always extra aware of times of the year where sickness is abundant.
The CDC says this two-week run-up to Turkey Day is the best time to get vaccinated for COVID, flu, and RSV.
We know we're going to see more flu starting to circulate and more COVID. So right now is a great time for you to get vaccinated. That way your body can build up its protection ahead of the holiday season.
That's CBS's Michael George reporting. The World Series really flew by.
It's happened! The Texas Rangers win!
We're learning games average 3 hours and 1 minute. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation, in a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist-prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Wildcats at Camp Randall Stadium. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A new bill proposed by a GOP assemblyman would peel back restrictions on hound hunting and training on wild animals during the spring throughout northern Wisconsin. Brittany Merlot has more information.
Wildlife biologists say that this may impact animals like deer, birds, and wolves. As the law currently sits, people can be ticketed for letting their dogs chase any wild game in northern Wisconsin during the months of April, May, and June. Some argue that this is an antiquated law that isn't heavily enforced anyway and doesn't even apply to the southern half of the state. But biologists say it will interrupt wildlife at a crucial time of the year when animals like deer, elk, wolves, bears, and others are recently born. They also say that the hunting dogs themselves could be harmed by lessening the current law.
The public meeting for the Wisconsin Rapid City Budget is tomorrow, November 9th at 6 p.m. at the City Hall. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 32 tonight, under cloudy skies, winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 46, lows around 29 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 44.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 8th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in our friends from Encourage and talk with the Wisconsin Rapids Community Choir. Looking forward to that. Right now, we have with us on the phone, thanks to our friends over at Family Natural Foods, Mark J. Kaler of Mushroom Wisdom. Mark, good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
We're doing good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. I live in the Georgia, outside of Atlanta, and we're having almost a summer day here in the middle of November.
Oh, it sounds beautiful. I'm not jealous at all. I'm not.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have brought that up considering where you guys are. Sorry.
Hey, that's all right. Good to hear. And good to hear you with us. We really do appreciate the time, Mark. I've done my homework on you, sir. I think you are quite the very interesting person. You got a lot to share with us today. I want to get into a couple of the notes that we have and some of the outline that we're going to be getting into. But if you don't mind, Mark, I'd like to get our audience to get to know you a little bit more. Your life has been interesting, and it took quite a sharp, unexpected turn at one point to lead you down this path. Do you mind telling us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually getting my PhD in sociology. The intent was to go on, into academia and teach and everything. And I started working in a health food store. And for someone coming from a small town in Western Maryland, it just kind of awakened me to this whole world of how important nutrition and other things are, and that led to a course change of career. I started studying herbalism, nutrition, a number of alternative healing modalities, naturopathy. I've had a chance to study with a number of indigenous healers, Cherokee Medicine Man, spent some time in the Peruvian rainforest, really trying to create a holistic approach to health and healing. So I've been working in the natural products industry for, I hate to date myself, but over 40 years now, sharing this information about these amazing health allies.
I can hear it in your voice. I can tell that this is passionate to you. You care about it. What got you? What was we hear about this moment, this unexpected moment, Mark, but what was it? Was it wanting to help people? Was it wanting to give people more options?
Yeah, absolutely both. I mean, the reason I wanted to go into teaching was to help people, to help, increase their awareness, information, education, and the same thing as it relates to health and healing. I started working, particularly in the Chicago area, with a group that was really dealing with the HIV/AIDS community. It was really the first effort to deal with it from a holistic perspective and things, and that just really got me to dig even deeper into it. I think there are so many health conditions, particularly the chronic conditions, that Western medicine is, let's just say, less than effective at treating. This holistic approach really makes the most sense, working with the organism as a whole. And having done this now for a number of decades, to see such pronounced and significant changes in just people's general health and healing, for people who just want to get a little bit better. And I also worked a lot when I was in Southern California with late-stage cancer patients, and to see it having a huge impact there. So, these are lessons and allies we can use to just maximize our health and healing or in some various conditions and situations.
It feels like, and I can't help asking this as somebody who, with the brain that you have, Mark, and the experience that you have, that for a long time we were kind of stuck with our way of doing medicine here in the West, or here out here in this country. Well, so I'll just look at America. And then kind of went at a certain point and kind of started looking at more old ways, old methods of healing and medicines. And now we've gotten to a point point, it feels like, in society where it's become much more about giving people options and giving people a chance to, hey, there, this is a way we do it, but here's another option. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, I think it is a trend that's been going on now for a number of years. I think we still have a long way to go. I still will deal with a client who will come to me and say, hey, I tried to talk to my, you know, my physician about this issue or that, or taking this or that supplement, and they just, you know, got mad at me and yelled at me and, you know, things of that sort. So while we are progressing a lot, I still think there's, you know, some growth that needs to be done. They can be really synergistic. I mean, Western medicine has, let's be honest, I mean, it's done some amazing things. If I break my arm, I'm not just going to go to an herbalist. I want to go to someone who has specialty in this, the surgeries and the techniques that are developing now. And it's interesting, too, because now they're even starting to incorporate kind of this holistic approach. I mean, in the treatment of cancer, you know, they're moving gradually away from this kind of target and kill thing to working on immunotherapies, where they're basically trying to boost the body's immune system to do the work that it's done, which is what, you know, holistic medicine has been doing all along, is let's work with the body and optimize its, you know, its mechanisms.
It's fascinating. I could talk with you about this for hours, and I would love to have you back sometime, sir, to talk a little bit more about the work you've done researching and with the Cherokee Reservation or on the Amazonian rainforest. I think we could have other conversations, so keep that in mind, Mark. You might be joining us again sometime. But for
absolutely.
For now, since we are talking medical mushrooms today, let's start off with a general question. What sets mushrooms apart from all the other natural remedies that are available today?
Yeah, I think there are a number of things that kind of distinguish medicinal mushrooms versus some of the natural remedies that are out there. Not that those aren't good and they don't have benefits to offer, but there's some things that I think that these mushrooms have that some of the others don't necessarily. And first is a long tradition of use. Some of these mushrooms have been used literally for thousands of years, and they were not just used, they were highly prized. They were associated with things like longevity, with immortality, you know, the highest level of health, you might say. That's nice, but it's also nice that in the last 50 to 75 years, there's been a significantly larger body, a growing body of research that's been done on it, in hospitals around the world, in clinics around the world. So they're really following up now with modern research. And it's interesting to know that I'd say 9 times out of 10, what modern research is doing is they're confirming what traditional medicine knew all along. Another nice aspect is in these mushrooms is they have a number of constituents in there. It's not just like, vitamin C, which is ascorbic acid. Some of these mushrooms, like the reishi mushroom, has literally hundreds of compounds in there, which allow it to do hundreds of different things in the body. So you can take one supplement that can have all sorts of benefits to it. I love what I call tonic remedies. These are remedies that basically enhance your overall health and vitality, your strength, your resilience. You know, I'd rather deal with someone so you don't get sick. You know, let's enhance your capabilities, your health, so that you don't have to deal with these chronic diseases or other conditions. Then they also have specific applications, so they do this tonic overall health benefit. And then they have these very targeted actions to them. Maitake mushroom can help with blood sugar levels. Lion's mane mushroom can increase something called nerve growth factor, which has all sorts of benefits for the brain. And then on top of that, they're just really safe. I mean, many of these mushrooms are foods, have been eaten for centuries, so they're extraordinarily safe to use.
Mark, are there qualitative differences between the various mushroom companies and products?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what we've seen, certainly in the natural products industry, and we probably see it in all industries, that when something becomes really popular, and mushrooms have really grown in popularity of late, that everybody starts jumping on the bandwagon. And unfortunately, with that comes people that may not really be committed to, you know, the health industry, the natural products industry, to putting out good quality products. So that leads to some, questionable products being entered into thing. You know, it's interesting with mushrooms. It's hard to test a mushroom and say, okay, we know this is what's good, versus like ascorbic acid. There's one little assay you can do, and you know whether it's ascorbic acid or not. Since these mushrooms have dozens or hundreds of compounds in there, it becomes a much more complicated process. And then on top of that, within the mushroom category, mushroom community, so to speak, you have this big debate that's going on now between what's called fruiting bodies, which is the part of the mushroom we see. You know, it's that little stem with the cap for, like the button mushroom or shiitakes. That's the fruiting body. And then there's the mycelium, which is the root structure of the mushroom. And different companies have focused on one or the other. You know, fruiting body companies oftentimes will say the mycelium is no good. The mycelium companies say the fruiting body is not good. And it's just a back and forth. to me, it's not a matter of whether one is better or worse than the other. It's a matter of they are just very, very different. The constituents are different. The actions are different. Growing them is different. So there's lots of differences there. A study was done, I think it's now 4 or 5 years ago. It's an independent study. It was published in a peer-reviewed journal. These people went out and took 19 products off the shelves of health food stores or bought them online. They bought reishi products, a wonderful mushroom remedy. Only 5 out of that 19 tested actual reishi in them. Now, thankfully, Mushroom Wisdom's reishi was one of the 5 that tested it, actually had reishi in it. But unfortunately, the number one reishi selling product in the industry tested as having no reishi in it. So there are concerns with quality issues. So things to look for, look how it's grown. Grow it like nature does. It has to be the appropriate part that's used. Is it extracted? Is it tested? Those are all things that are really important when looking at mushroom products.
So it does matter how they are grown. How they are grown does make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. For most mushrooms, it can have a significant difference. For some mushroom, it can have a huge difference. It'll affect the quality of the mushroom. It'll affect what constituents are actually in there, those active compounds that we're looking to do. So the question I begin with is, what does the mushroom grow on in nature? Does it grow on wood? Does it grow in soil? Does it grow on grain? Then look at the mushroom. How is it grown? Mushroom Wisdom grows their mushrooms in a way that mirrors how they grow in their natural environment. This is contrasted to a lot of the mycelium or a lot of the kind of the, I don't want to say the fast growers, let's say. I don't want to say fast buck. I don't want to get that far off tangent here. But they'll grow it on grain. And the thing is, that's not a natural food source for these mushrooms. And I think it affects the energetics. It affects the constituents that are in there. And a good example of that is the chaga mushroom. Chaga has a compound in there called betulin or betulinic acid. And it can only get this compound if it's grown on a birch tree. So if you're growing it on rice, or growing it on oats or something else, you're not going to get this key, really important active constituent. The reishi mushroom, the mushroom I mentioned before, has these compounds in there called triterpenes. These are very important active compounds, of which reishi has literally hundreds of them in there. When you grow your mushroom on grain, like you do with mycelium-based products, it has none of these triterpenes in it. So Mushroom Wisdom, we actually grow them on logs, which is how you would find them growing in their natural habitat, and they have numerous triterpenes in there. So how that mushroom grows significantly, if not hugely, impacts what you actually get when you buy a supplement of that mushroom.
The groundbreaking work that we're doing and getting done on mushrooms and fungi and these different things, and the way that we're understanding nature and the planet so much more, it's beneficial, and it's just kind of cool. You know, I mean, I know it helps our bodies and everything, but there's just a cool angle of it that I just find very interesting.
And there's another whole area. It's called mycoremediation, where they're using mushrooms to basically clean up toxic dumps or toxic environments. And it's been shown, this is amazing to me, you can use it on oil spills. They'll take actually bales of impregnated like straw and things like that, put it out in the oil spills, and the mushrooms actually digest that oil and neutralize it. They've done it with toxic dumps that have very dangerous toxic minerals in it. They've even done it sometimes with radioactive substances, showing that mushrooms can deactivate, so to speak, that radioactivity. So there's a whole other world of people starting to use a variety of mushrooms, particularly the turkey tail mushroom, which many people are familiar with just because it grows everywhere, including Wisconsin, having dramatic impacts on our environment stuff. So that's a really exciting area as well.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done a double take at a news article I'm reading, but I did when I was reading about that. I was like, wait a minute, mushrooms are doing this? It's pretty fascinating. It's pretty cool.
Another side is they're using it now to make bricks to build houses out of it. There are companies that use it for packing material. We're really at the tip of the iceberg, I think, for what mushrooms may be able to offer our world.
It's a really interesting time to be, it's not only, I imagine, in this field, but for those of us on the outside, it's really fascinating to see this is going on. And we are speaking with Mark J. Kaler of Mushroom Wisdom. Mark was telling us before that he's calling us from Georgia, got some nice weather down there. But even with that weather, it is still cold and flu season. What's a good mushroom to support our immune system's health and function?
Yeah, my number one favorite mushroom, my number one favorite remedy, really, for the immune system is called the maitake mushroom. and more specifically, a specific extraction of the mushroom that Mushroom Wisdom does called maitake defraction. So what they did a number of years ago, a researcher had done some real promising work with the maitake mushroom on this impact with the HIV community. And then they wanted to find out, well, what is exactly in that mushroom that's doing that? And they did a number of studies and a number of different extractions. And they found out, you know, there was extraction A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. And they found out that extraction D, hence the name defraction, was the most effective for boosting the body's immune response. So the maitake defraction is what's called an immune modulator, meaning it balances the immune system. You don't have to worry about overstimulating the immune system like you do with some natural remedies. It's been shown to increase several types of immune cells, things like natural killer cells, macrophages, the Pac-Man immune cells that run through our body gobbling things up, cytotoxic T cells. So it increases numbers of those immune cells. On top of that, it activates these immune cells. So, you know, it's nice to have immune cells, but you want them awake and alert, right? You want them so when something, you know, hits you, your immune system can kick in right away. Then it increases activity of those immune cells. So, you know, now there are more of them, you know, they're activated and they're able to do.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Did we lose Mark? Oh, we lost Mark. Oh, no. And we're back. We got Mark back. This is great. Mark, sorry about the hang up there. Not sure where how that happened, but we're back, and that's what matters. And we are talking about how mushrooms can help the immune system, Mark. And I did want to mention that our friends at Family Natural Foods will be having a lot of immune system products healthy for you on sale over there for you. 20% off November 8th through the 11th over at Family Natural Foods. We'll give you more details when we wrap up today. Mark, is there anything else that you think our listeners should know as far as our immune system and how mushrooms can help?
Yeah, one of the new areas of research, certainly with mushrooms in general, and it applies to the maitake defraction and pretty much all the mushrooms that are out there, are the amazing benefits it has for the microbiome. We're seeing an amazing amount of research in that area, in the microbiome, and then also how mushrooms affect the microbiome. For people who may not know, microbiome is basically the good bacteria on your system, or it's the bacteria on your system. Obviously, we want to focus on the good bacteria. Most of us focus on the digestive tract where all the good probiotics and exist, doing a wide range of benefits. And we're finding out that these good bacteria affect really every level of our health, you know, our brain, our heart, you name it, these good bacteria seem to interact with it. And we're finding that mushrooms can encourage or increase the numbers of good bacteria, decrease the numbers of bad bacteria, and then help create kind of the right balance of the different bacteria that are supposed to be in your system. And then lastly, I mentioned, particularly with the maitake defraction, is it seems to play really well with pharmaceuticals. It's been shown to decrease the negative side effects of chemotherapy quite significantly while potentiating that chemotherapy agent. It's been shown to do the same thing for vaccines, improving the efficacy of the vaccine, at the same time decreasing the negative effects of the vaccine. So, you know, these are nice remedies that stand well on their own, but then also work really well with some of the conventional treatments.
Well, I find that really interesting that they play well together. That's fascinating. Chaga mushroom is one of the mushrooms that has become more popular of late. Can you tell us a little bit about that mushroom? You've mentioned it a little bit here in the conversation.
Yeah, the main host or the place the chaga mushroom grows most on is the birch tree, and that's that source for that betulinic acid we were talking about. And technically, it's not a mushroom. A mushroom is defined as the fruiting body. What we use with the chaga mushroom is something called the sclerodia, and it's basically a mass of these mycelium, this really fine mycelium root structures that come together, sprout out. And many people may have seen it and not really known what it was. It looks like a big, giant kind of piece of charcoal that grows out of the side of trees. It's a very slow-growing mass, so it takes a long time to develop. It's been used traditionally for centuries in Eastern Europe and Russia in particular, anti-parasitic, antibacterial. Hippocrates used it to wash wounds with it, heart, liver, you know, a number of different applications in traditional medicine. But I think the area that's really interesting is, and these are all research-backed areas, is it's an extraordinarily potent antioxidant, meaning that it fights free radicals. In that sense, it's been shown to be neuroprotective, protecting the brain and nervous system, protecting the pancreas and liver, both of which can deal with a lot of free radical damage. And one of the really things that I think is intriguing for me is, and I call it the wisdom of nature, what the chaga mushroom is able to do with its antioxidant ability is it reduces what are called reactive oxygen species, which are basically free radicals, in normal healthy cells. So you want fewer of them. Conversely, in cancer cells, it's actually been shown to increase those reactive oxygen species, which you want to do because you actually want to oxidize those cancer things. So a really incredible, in many ways, a smart antioxidant. Potent anti-inflammatory, it increases anti-inflammatory mechanisms, it decreases pro-inflammatory mechanisms, very strong immune booster. This is one that actually you have to be careful with. You don't want to overdo it. It increases numbers and activity of immune cells. It's cytotoxic, it's anti-proliferative, it's antiviral. It's actually been shown to inhibit viral reproduction, and it may actually keep viruses from invading the normal cells. And people may or may not know that viruses can't really exist on their own. They've got to get into the cell in order to reproduce and do their nasty thing. So if you can keep it out of the cell, they naturally die off. And my interest in, you know, these tonic remedies fits with chaga because I call it a constitutional strengthener. Mm. Traditionally, hunters would take chaga with them when they're going to go out for several days on a long hunt, because it would increase their energy, strengthen their bodies. They didn't have those ready-to-eat meals and everything that we have right now. So it's a good overall strengthener in that sense. And like the maitake, it can also help with that gut bacteria, the diversity and the composition of it. So it's a really intriguing mushroom in that regard.
I love learning, Mark, and I have learned so much from you today. And I've done my homework on this subject, and even with that, I've learned a lot with you, and I know our listeners have. So before we let you go, I understand that you have a favorite mushroom. What is it, and why did you choose this one?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the reishi mushroom. Reishi is my favorite mushroom. Reishi is in my top three of basic best overall supplements to take, and basically because it's well-suited for what ails us today. You know, cardiovascular disease, still number one. Immune-related conditions, number two. Respiratory issues, we're all really aware of those nowadays. Stress, unfortunately, I'm sure many of us are way too aware of that. Reduces inflammation, can improve sleep quality. Decreases something called insulin resistance. We're now finding that a lot of these chronic conditions that we're dealing with, particularly cardiovascular and brain-related, are related to this, what insulin resistance means. The cells aren't responding to insulin, so they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that creates a whole series of other problems. In traditional Chinese medicine, they call it a Shen tonic. Shen is kind of the emotional, spiritual center of the body. So, you know, when we say someone has a broken heart, we don't really mean that four-chambered organ in the chest. What we're talking about is that emotional center. Reishi is really, really good for that. And then it's what I call a tonic detoxifier, and it promotes the body's detoxification processes. At the same time, it protects the body in that detoxification processes. And one caveat I'll add, with reishi, it's really important to make sure it's extracted both in hot water and in alcohol, so you get these hundreds of active compounds in there. So reishi is just, to me, a supplement. I go so far as to say if everybody on the planet would take reishi, we'd probably be living in a better world.
Oh, man, that's a great statement, Mark. And I don't disagree with you. I've learned a little bit about, I struggle with sleep, and had a good friend suggest that to help with sleep. So I've heard of it before, and I'm going to be reading more about it as it is. Mark, you've helped us realize mushrooms are awesome. I don't know if they belong on pizza yet. I'm not sure about that part, but we'll get to that on the next time we talk, okay? We'll get to that on that.
I agree totally with you on that. I'm not a mushroom on pizza fan, so right, we're in tune on that one.
Excellent. Mark, if people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about the great work that you and Radiant Health are doing, how can they find out more?
They can go to my website, radianthehealthproject.com. I'm happy to answer questions and share what information I can. If they want to find out about Mushroom Wisdom's products, they can go to www.mushroomwisdom.com. I do a newsletter for them, so you can get a monthly newsletter that updates you on some of the research and things.
Excellent. I want to also encourage people to like their Facebook page. It's a great way to keep up on the things that they are doing over there. Really great talking with you, Mark. Look forward to doing it again sometime.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. You have a great day, sir.
You too.
And as I mentioned earlier, when this was all set up, thanks to our great friends over at Family Natural Foods. I want to remind you that build up that immune system this winter season. They have great things that are focused on defractions and chaga. They'll be having them on sale 20% off November 8th through the 11th. Visit our friends over at Family Natural Foods at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. You can give them a call at 715-423-3120. That's 423-3120. Be sure to bookmark their webpage, Family. familynaturalfood.com and follow them on social media. It is maybe the greatest thing to follow on Instagram is Family Natural Foods, arguably. I think it is. A big shout out to our friends over at Family Natural Foods. Visit them today. We will take a break and come back with more Midday Magazine for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Portage County Sheriff's Office is offering an in-person snowmobile safety course that starts on December 12th. This course is designed for students 11 to 12 years of age and older. The classes will run December 12th, 14th, and 18th from 4 to 7 p.m. If you wish to sign up your child for this course, you want to create them a Go Wild account. Don't use your own account. This course is through the DNR and will cost $10. More than 80% of Wisconsin's lakes and rivers recently assessed by the Clean Water Act are attaining water quality standards. This continues a trend of improved surface water quality across the state, with over half improving in phosphorus. Although the majority of water bodies are in good condition, 52 new water bodies or segments are now classified as impaired. They are required to have a restoration plan to improve aquatic habitat, recreation opportunities, or fish consumption. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 32 tonight, under cloudy skies, winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 46, lows around 29 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 44.
The morning show on WFHR. It's informative.
Have neither of you been on sleigh rides before?
Yeah, never, never. No. I've never been on.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I've been on like dozens. Oh, my gosh.
We gotta do
and I don't even like winter.
What kind of life are you living, Seth?
He was way up in the, he was in the, like really.
Northern Minnesota, yeah. I mean, come on.
Every neighbor has a sleigh in their barn.
Big words from someone from Toma.
Oh, it's on now, bro.
Every weekday from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 8th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here, and we're welcoming in some of our friends from Encourage and the Wisconsin Rapids Community Choir. We have with us, of course, our good friend Kim Shields from Encourage. Kim, good to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Always appreciate the time from you, and appreciate that you all do such a good job with your time of giving of it this half an hour. I will put you on the spot in a moment, Kim, and talk
Sounds
with
great.
You. But I do want to also introduce Vicki Dresser with us. Vicki, it's nice to have you with us.
Well, it's nice to be here.
I appreciate the time. I'm looking forward to talking with you. And we also want to welcome in Natalie Kleckman. Natalie, did I say your name right?
Yes, you did.
All right. Nailed that. All right. I don't get it right very often. It took me for a year to get Kim's name right. We appreciate the time from all three of you. Thank you so much for being here today and looking forward to learning more about the Wisconsin Rapids Community Choir. But Kim, if you don't mind, I wanted to start with you and talking about Encourage, talking about the funding at Encourage and why it is so important to our community.
Great. Thank you so much. At Encourage, we are just so fortunate to have a very generous and giving community. So many people believe in our community, programming that is offered, supporting our residents in whatever that may be. Today's guests, obviously, it's music, which mm-hmm. is phenomenal. So, donors have different interest areas, and through a conversation with us, we're often able to help connect them to a specific organization. We have a lot of funds at Encourage for different interest areas, different mm-hmm. areas of a passion, perhaps, a specific organization that they may really have a heart for mm-hmm. and want to support. And so oftentimes we will have a fund at Encourage that can help meet that need, and mm-hmm. they can contribute to that fund. I know I've mentioned this a long time ago, but most of the funds at Encourage are endowed. Mm-hmm. We do have a few rarities, like the one with the community choir that is not endowed. Mm-hmm. However, with that endowment, it really provides that long-term support for that organization. Mm-hmm. So it's invested in such a way that it will be there forever. And from that, the organization receives an annual grant, and mm-hmm. they can use it. Most of the time, it's used for operating support. And as a nonprofit organization ourselves, we also need operating support. So mm-hmm. we totally understand and are in the same boat as these nonprofit organizations yeah. and community.
There's a kinship there, I imagine.
There is. There mm-hmm. is. And that's one of the reasons we feel so strongly about helping to connect others together, mm-hmm. Connect people that have an interest in supporting, those that want to take things forward or are able to take things forward, and those that can't. There's mm-hmm. there's another way they can support them, you know. So yeah. we do try to help make that connection. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah.
And the funding, obviously, is very important. Dollars help immensely.
Yeah, they go. They make these projects come to life.
Exactly.
I imagine that this happened to you before, where somebody thinks they have a good idea, but they're not too certain if it fits or if it works with Encourage, and they're on the fence about it. But mm-hmm. they take the jump and they talk to you, and then it happens.
Right.
And I always like to lean on that in this community. We've got a very creative and fun community, and you may be sitting there thinking, "Well, I have an idea that I think would be beneficial and really good, but I don't know. I don't know if people are going to be into this or anything. Give it a shot. You know,
exactly.
Reach out. There's no downside. There's no side effects to this or anything. You give it a shot. You see what the gang at Encourage thinks of this mm-hmm. idea and what they can do with it, possibly.
Right. And it's interesting because we do receive calls like that, which we love. That's mm-hmm. one of the things we're here for.
Yeah.
And we have a what if grant to help support some, you know, startup seed funding for whatever the project or program may be. But I actually have had some calls, I would say, within the last couple months where somebody was interested in something and it was already happening. Huh. They just didn't know about it. So able to make that connection. But there are other things that, do you think this is a really bad idea? Do you think it's worth pursuing? Mm-hmm. And they're still ruminating on it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still thinking about it. And a request for funding hasn't come in yet. But I suspect it will.
Yeah, cool. I bring this up, too, and I don't mean to get too personal here, but Kim and the gang and Encourage have dealt with me and my ideas. I'm trying to get my Simpsons one-man show off the ground. The funding's not there yet for it. It might be. We're hopeful. Kim, great work. Appreciate you, as always. And we'll talk more before we wrap up about how people can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. If I could just mention with the funding, with our guests here for the community choir, we really helped them out from the beginning. And Vicki has a lot of great historical information to share. But we were able to help with some of that seed funding to like start their library, their musical library. And as a nonprofit organization, we can receive those gifts, and somebody gets a tax receipt for it, which is great. You're supporting music, you're getting a tax donation, and it feels good.
It's a win-win.
It is.
It really is. And I'm glad you set me up there, Kim, because I wanted to actually start with you, Vicki, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I do want to get into a little bit of the history of the Wisconsin Rapids Choir. Can we start there?
Sure.
It's been going, this is the 20th season, actually.
Beautiful.
It's an anniversary season.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been there that long, but Sid Cooper, who was in the very first year, provided us with some extra information,
very
which
cool.
really helps.
Yeah, that's nice.
So, anyway, I guess it's, they began in the fall of 2004.
Okay.
And they met at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, and they had two directors at that time, and it was Sid Cooper and Julanne Rannick-Stoltz. And the accompanist was Sarah Reifelman, some people may know.
Yeah,
her. She's great.
Yeah, she is great.
Amazing singer.
And they began with around 10 singers.
Wow.
Only 10.
And what are we up to now with the choir?
About 60.
That's incredible.
I mean, the numbers go up a little higher than that, but it depends on
somewhere around there. That's a higher number.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty interesting. Yeah. Do we know when their first public concert was?
The first, let's see.
I thought I was setting you up. I could have just
know.
Said it. I'm sorry.
I do. First public concert was May 21st, 2006. And it was at the First Congregational Church where we meet now.
I was going to say, that seems significant because that is where you... So had they been meeting all these years there or just on here and there a bit?
Well, at first they would meet to practice at the Cultural Center.
Oh, okay.
Then they just outgrew that space.
Yes, that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. Yeah.
And then they moved rehearsals to the First Congregational Church.
Very cool.
And they moved the funds to Encourage Community Foundation at the same time.
Very cool.
And leadership has changed. Julanne was, I think she is the organist at First Congregational Church.
Mm, okay.
And she was one of the first directors. Mm. And Josh Ulrich, when she left the group, then Josh Ulrich became the co-director. And Sarah Reifelman left the group. And then Mary Englert became the accompanist, who is our accompanist now. Wonderful. Mm. Oh, she can play everything.
Yeah.
And then Josh Ulrich left the group. And then in the fall of 2023, now we have added three new co-conductors. Sid Cooper is still there this fall.
Okay.
And I am one of the directors, and Jan Dykstra and Seth Peterson.
Very cool.
So that was kind of neat.
Very, very. And thank you very much for that history. I appreciate that. One of the other questions that I have... one of the things that I think is interesting is co-conductors, having those. How does that help you and your fellow conductors? How does that give you more variety, help you and the choir have some more things to be able to try?
It's really been interesting. I know I didn't really want to do it all myself. I said, well, I'd be willing to do it if I could share the duties. I couldn't believe all the things that Sid Cooper did.
Yeah.
And Mary Englert, the accompanist. They were just doing so massive amounts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Not just ordering music and taking care of all the details, but it was a lot.
Yeah.
And it is a lot.
Although, to be fair, you guys are paid thousands of dollars, right? Right? No? No? You're not? No.
That is the interesting thing. Nobody's paid anything.
It is.
We're all volunteers, even the choir directors. So.
It's a beautiful part of this, but it also, I bring it up in part because many hands make light work. You guys are taking the time out of your day to do something like this. Having extra hands is really smart. And creatively, I imagine, brings some different things to the fold.
And it's kind of nice having a man director. He hasn't really directed before, but he's very good at it. And he's very musical. He's written one of the songs, or arranged one of the songs that we're singing, The Father's Love Begotten.
That's cool. That is very interesting.
That is really neat. And each of us gets two songs to direct. And except for Sid, we made her take three. she's still the lead one. It's fun.
Do you find when they choose their stuff or kind of balancing with them for the flow or trying to do things, pick something different than they did, as far as musically, the types of songs that you guys are choosing?
Well, this year we did a poll of the choir to see what are your favorite Christmas songs, that we could put in this concert. And so we looked at that. I had one that I just had done at a couple churches, and I really liked it. Go Tell It on the Mountain. And,
good one.
So. Singing it right now.
Yeah, it popped right in my head right away.
I know.
Yeah.
And I just really wanted to do that one. But, like Natalie, you can say what some of the songs are.
Natalie, if you wouldn't mind. What are some of the songs that you guys will be singing?
We'll be singing, should I read off all of them?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, you can read them all. Yeah.
We're doing Sing We Noel, Of the Father's Love Begotten, The First Noel, A Classic Christmas, In the Bleak Midwinter, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, Jingle Bells, Sleigh Ride, I Heard the Bells, Light Beyond Shadow, and Peace, Peace.
Great list. Great playlist.
Some of those that are just Christmas carols are sung by everyone.
Nice. Oh, that's going to sound good. I can almost hear it right now. That's going to sound really good. I want to talk with you a little bit more, Vicki, about the time off and how that affected the group in a moment. But if you don't mind, Natalie, I actually want to put you on the spot for a second because the audience is an audio medium. They can't tell, but you are 13. Maybe they might have been able to tell from your voice, but I don't think so. You got a mature sounding voice.
She's our youngest member.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. So you are. You're the youngest member. How did you get involved with this?
Well, I take singing lessons from Vicki, and she asked me if I wanted to join, and I did. So I joined, and now I go there.
What made you want to join?
Well, I thought it would be a fun experience. I got into singing because I'm a theater kid, and I wanted to be able to sing well to have more opportunities in theater. And then I just kind of got into it, and now I've realized how much fun singing is. So, yeah.
Natalie, that is that you just made my heart sing by saying that. I've been acting since I was 7. I'm a theater kid, and I can't sing worth a darn, but I've been working for the last 10, 15 years to get better at singing so I could do singing roles. You're way ahead of the game. You're doing this at 13. I'm in my 40s doing this. Like, way to be. Nice. Good on you. Good on you for thinking that forward ahead and everything. How have you been enjoying being a part of the group?
Well, it's honestly... it's really amazing to see how all these people, they just come together and they sing and we harmonize really well. It's unbelievable. And like, I'm not really great at reading music yet. Like, I can read the notes, but I can't like associate a note with a pitch. But I don't know if many people can even do that, but it's really
fun. She's keeping up great.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Good on you for doing it, too. That's very cool. I wanted to get back to the choir and that they did not meet during the pandemic for a couple of years. I know when I saw from Pam the list that we had this week of guests, I was so excited to see you guys on the list, in part because I'm like, oh, they had some time off. They had some time where we didn't have it, and... to be blunt and not cruel, but to be blunt, we're also, there's another version of this where we don't have the choir, that it doesn't come back from the pandemic and everything, like a lot of other things that we lost during that time. So I think that it's first noteworthy to give Encourage a tip of the hat when it comes to that, and you all these great members of this choir still continuing this process. When did rehearsals start up again, after the pandemic?
Well, we went from 2020 to September 22. Mm-hmm. We finally started rehearsals again in September.
Okay.
And actually, stronger than ever, we had more people. Everybody was so excited. The one interesting thing about the choir is that there are so many unbelievable singers, but there's a great deal of directors. I mean, there are so many. I don't know, there's 10, 12 people that have directed choirs or are directing choirs, and that makes it quite professional. I honestly thought that, oh, it's just a community choir.
Yeah.
Because I was in the Stevens Point big choirs.
Okay.
And Wisconsin Master Chorale. I didn't really think about joining this, and when I did, I thought, oh my goodness, this is great.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many good singers, and it really is, and it part of it is because there's so many really musical people in it.
Yeah, it's one of those things, being in this chair, I've been spoiled to see how music centric our area is and how many amazing musicians we have in this area. I would actually say that Kim and I both have an insight on that one.
Yeah.
That is, we've been spoiled with that, with how wonderful our area is with musicians. I'm curious about a couple of things when it comes to this. First off, we mentioned this, and I want to really hit on it, 20th anniversary. Yeah. That is awesome. That is a really beautiful thing. And I want to ask both of you this question, because especially since both of you haven't necessarily been a part of the choir since the very beginning.
Right.
But what it means to continue a tradition like this, how that must feel. What does that feel like for you?
Well, it's wonderful. It's such a fine group of people. It feels like a family. I don't know if you know this about our concerts, but when we give them, we also have a reception afterward, and we all pitch in. All the choir members pitch in and make a dish to pass or some hors d'oeuvre, and so we feed people afterward too.
Yeah.
And we don't really expect, you know, any pay or anything. We do ask for free will offerings or donations or whatever. That really does help, because music now is so expensive. One sheet of music can cost two or more dollars, and if you think times 60?
Yeah.
That's a lot for only adding one song.
And that's up quick, I imagine.
Some of us are church choir directors or former ones, and we do borrow some music sometimes from some of the churches.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because I think when it comes to those at-will donations and those things, that's incentivizing to people. You know, you come to these events, you take them in, you appreciate them. One of the greatest ways to show your thanks is to give those donations with those that are able to. And even if you're not able to do that, spreading awareness about the choir, I think, and the concerts that are coming up and those things, that's something we can all do. So how about for you, Natalie? You being a part of something like this that's been around longer than you've been alive, like that's got to feel pretty cool. That's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, well, kind of for me, since I'm young, it feels like I'm the next generation, or I'm like carrying on the legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I'm really, again, I'm glad to hear you got some insight on your kid. Like that.
She does.
Oh, I was prepared to say that to you. You're saying it to me. You get it. You really do get it. That's pretty cool. And I imagine something that you can take the ball and run with. As the more you learn and the more comfortable you get with something like this, that's very cool to hear. I wanted to ask about rehearsals, and we won't keep you guys too much longer, but I am curious about how often you guys get to rehearse. How often do you rehearse?
It's on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock to 8:30, and we rehearse about 8 times per semester, about that. So it's not every week. Sometimes we might go 2 Tuesdays in a row and skip one and do another one.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on what's happening.
Sure, yeah. Not only people getting busy, but holidays, different
right.
things
and
like
if
that.
There's a if there are concerts with the high school kids or things like that,
sure.
You know, that people are involved in, then we skip that Tuesday.
Not a big time commitment, though, from what it seems.
Not really.
Yeah, yeah.
Except maybe for the directors.
And Natalie, I'm curious for you, being in school, I don't know if you have after school activities or anything, but, you know, you're a kid, you got a life. How has it gone for you with rehearsals? Do you feel like it's a big time commitment for you?
Not really. It's pretty easy. Like, the only time I haven't been able to go was Halloween, and we didn't even have rehearsals on Halloween anyways, so.
So we bring this up in part because I think it's interesting, but also if people want to join the choir, and one of the hesitancies they have maybe is, I don't know if I have the time or that kind of thing, it's not a big time commitment. It's not. It that doesn't take you away from your daily life too much. That's pretty nice.
And there are no tryouts.
Yes, that's an interesting note.
No auditions is a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did invite 2 voice students.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's 14.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Nice.
So, and if you know that they can handle it,
yeah,
they're also sitting next to somebody who knows what to do and everything. Mm-hmm. And,
right.
Which is good, but Natalie's handling herself very well.
Very cool. Very good. And good on you, Natalie. Nice work.
Thank you.
Nice work.
It is nice work.
Let's talk about the...
Do you mind if I share a little thought on... So I had the privilege of going to the Christmas concert last year. So right after you came back from the COVID hiatus, right? And one of the really cool things was, the choir was outstanding. The musicianship, how everybody kind of helped each other out. But, you know, Vicky's been graciously and rightfully so talking about the younger generation, which is incredible. But there are some of our senior citizens in the choir as well. And I saw so many acts of kindness among the choir members for some of the older generation that may have been struggling with their music or holding their music or lost their place. And honestly, I was in tears out in the audience just seeing the incredible kindness and compassion of all the choir members that comes through not only with what we see, but you can hear it when they sing. And it just radiated throughout the audience there, sitting in the pews at the church. It was absolutely beautiful.
That's cool.
So, I mean, this is a really, they're talented group of individuals, obviously, but they're a very kind and compassionate group of people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can say enough about you know, people that give of themselves and their time.
Yeah. It's one thing to give of your time and your talents, but to show that kind of compassion for each other and that it makes all that music hit that much deeper and mean that much more when you see those kind of things. That's a really good note. Thank you for that, Kim.
Yeah,
I appreciate
absolutely.
It. Now, we've gotten everybody excited. Now we got to see you guys. Now we got to hear you guys. Do we have a show coming up? I see that there's a Celebrate the Season holiday concert coming up on December 2nd.
Yes, there is. It's a Saturday, December 2nd, right, and it is at 4 p.m.
Okay. All right. Where is this taking place?
At the First Congregational Church.
Excellent. Excellent. That's at 311 2nd Street South, right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yep,
keep that in
right
mind.
Right next to the cinema.
Yeah.
Yes.
Across from the river.
And I know we touched on this a little bit. I think it's a great place to wrap up and remind the audience. What will the concert feature? What will be some of the songs, some of the things that are featured and part of the concert?
Well, I guess, you know, we always feature some carols that everyone can sing, which
traditional
is really nice. And we have one at the end, Peace that has Silent Night attached to it. And that has become a tradition to do. And it just fills the room with this wonderful sound. And, you know, when they start singing Silent Night and we're singing this other song with it, oh, it's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I guess that one song that I mentioned before of the Father's Love Begotten, that Seth Peterson arranged, there's going to be organ and piano accompaniment. And
nice.
Full choir behind it. It's really beautiful. So those are one of the features. And
go Tell It on the Mountain you mentioned before, and I see that there's a jazzy arrangement for that. I don't know if I've ever heard of jazz. I'm a diehard jazz fan. I love jazz, and I love that song. I really got to hear that. That sounds pretty cool.
Well, I'm making everyone snap, even if they can't snap or make noise.
I've always been. I snap weird. I snap like this.
Oh.
I use my index finger.
I got
big weird hands though. That's why I don't.
Well, some people can't snap, but I said, well, it makes you look like you're enjoying it.
Yes.
You know, and then I'm making them actually memorize that song, which is different than everybody else.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But
is there a reason for that?
It worked out last night. Well, then they can get into it. They can snap.
They can
clap at the end too, because the last couple of choruses are actually clapping.
You're a smart director.
So,
I like that.
I'm a choreography nerd.
I like that.
Maybe I can't move myself.
Oh, you reminded me so much of like the old doo-wop groups a little bit with that. That's pretty cool.
Well, if it's not fun, why are you doing it?
Right on. Well said. Oh, I wish I could just stop the interview right there. Like, yes, well said. That's such a point of not only this, but so many of these events that we have in this area and being able to take them in.
Yeah.
Yes, we encourage you to buy local support our local arts, take these events in and give these guys a great crowd to enjoy and have fun. Let's not forget the fun part of this. There's a lot of fun to be had with these. I think it's one of the things that I love about Christmas is the songs and how many, there's beautiful songs like Silent Night and that. And then there's just really fun songs, you know, just songs that make you want to move.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. That's one of them.
I was going to go right to that because I think that's one of the most fun Christmas songs there is. That's a great one. You need that baritone. You need that baritone to be able to do some of that, though. I don't know. Maybe you do. We'll find out at the show. The show is coming up again Saturday, December 2nd, 4 o'clock at the First Congressional Church at 311 2nd Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. If people want tickets or they want to know more about this, how can they find that out?
You don't need a ticket.
Okay.
But come early enough to get a seat.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it really, there's a lot of people that come. They like to get fed afterward, I think, too.
Yeah. Do want to encourage people to follow along on your Facebook page, Wisconsin Rapids Area Community Choir. It's a great way to keep up to date on all these great things that you all are doing. Natalie, Vicki, thank you both so much for everything you're putting into our community and hanging out with me for an hour or half an hour. That was a lot of fun. Thank you both for the time.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for letting us speak.
And Kim, always appreciate you. Thank you so much for everything. If people want to reach out to you and find out more, Kim, how can they do that?
That'd be great. Give us a call at 715-423-3863 or send us an email at hello@encouragecf.org. If they want to make a donation to support the choir, you can send us a check or you can go online it's the give section, and just note community choir, Rapids Community Choir, however you want to note it. Just make a note for that, and we'll direct it to the right spot.
Appreciate it, as always, Kim. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Ivanka Trump testified in her father's civil fraud trial today in New York, where he's accused of beefing up financial statements for benefits. State Attorney General Letitia James.
Ivanka Trump secured and negotiated loans to obtain favorable terms based on fraudulent statements of financial condition.
Hamas has reportedly lost control in northern Gaza, where Israel's military keeps escalating its attacks. Yolanda Nels with the BBC.
For now, the fierce battles go on. Israel pledges to annihilate Hamas. Hamas says that no force on earth can do that. Many more difficult days lie ahead.
And Meta's cracking down on political deepfakes ahead of 2024. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
This is the biggest sign yet that we should be prepared to see audio, video, and images that seem to be genuine but are actually fake.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. After a big day for Democrats in elections around the country, the latest Marquette University Law School poll finds President Biden with a 2-point lead over Donald Trump, 50% to 48% among registered voters. Both frontrunners are low on favorables, with Biden at 42% and Trump at 37%. The poll also shows Republicans Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis beating Biden in Wisconsin in hypothetical matchups. The Milwaukee Brewers are being asked to chip in more to maintain American Family Field. An amendment to the ballpark bill would increase the Brewers' contribution by $10 million. The ask from taxpayers would go down by $36 million thanks to a tax on concerts and other non-Brewers events. The Senate may vote on the amended bill as early as next week.